My friends, welcome to Greenwich, a town for all seasons. A community with a bountiful history like Greenwich, Connecticut has a special place in our hearts. This is our shared inheritance, offering us the opportunity to once again savor and celebrate the flavors of our past, pass it on to those who follow, and delight in this place we call home. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, a descendant of Greenwich's founders, and I'm your host. I'm glad to have you with us today. May our journey together be just as engaging and treasured as those whose lives and legacies fascinate us today.
Coming up on today's show.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, 12th of February, 2020 broadcast. I'm glad that you could join us today. Now, for generations, the Greenwich Audubon Center in the Northwest Backcountry has welcomed residents and visitors from seemingly everywhere to enjoy its majestic forests, its rich history, and the most amazing nature trails around. I reconnected with the Greenwich Audubon Center, and I invite you to do the same. So with us this morning by phone is Eli Schaefer. He is the director of the Greenwich Audubon Center, and you can learn more at greenwich.audubon.org. Now, February is Black or African American History Month in Greenwich and the rest of America. An unfinished revolution, the Woman's Suffrage Centennial exhibit is open to the public at Greenwich Historical Society, and I'll share some historical minutiae and more as today's show unfolds. So don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host. Contact me anytime by email at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com. Check out the show's news blog at greenwichatownforallseasons.blogspot.com. Are you on Facebook? Well, I hope you are. Look up and join the show's Facebook group. Social media groups I recommend joining are, You Know You're From Greenwich, If Administered by Town Resident Judy Goss, Images of Greenwich, Connecticut Administered by Jim Ramsey, Nostalgia Greenwich, and the Portchester, New York Historical Archive, administered by Norm Davis. Tune in to Greenwich, a Town for All Seasons every other Wednesday morning, 9 to 9:30 a.m. in the Eastern Time Zone. Can't listen to us in real time? Well, we've got you covered with archived shows posted in the shows and hosts section of WGCH.com and on podcasts.com and on SoundCloud. Welcome to Talk of the Town. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, and I am your host. If you were here in Greenwich last month, you were undoubtedly delighted one weekend when outside temperatures soared, and when matched with clear blue skies, the great outdoors beckoned. Now, on a whim, I headed to the Greenwich Audubon Center at 613 Riversville Road in the backcountry. While traversing its trails, lake, vernal pools, and exploring its forests, I not only reconnected with a favorite gem from my youth, I ended up making new friends, rediscovering a natural preserve with a rich history that dates from the 18th century, and learned about the great efforts made to sustain this special nature sanctuary for present and future generations to enjoy. Its Kimberland Nature Education Center welcomes visitors from everywhere. Its Hilfiger Children's Learning Center, Nature Store, and Perch Coffee Lounge is an active hub for conservation events, exhibits, offices, and classrooms, and everything else for that matter. With us this morning by phone is Eli Schaefer. He is the director of the Greenwich Audubon Center. My friends, you can learn more at greenwich.audubon.org. Eli Schaefer, welcome to the show. I'm glad that you could join us today. Now, my audience is meeting you for the first time. Tell us about yourself, now, not just professionally, but also how discovering the wonders of your backyard as a young boy led you to be the director of the Greenwich Audubon Society.
Well, you know, I really can't remember a time that I didn't love being outside. As a little kid, I'm still of the generation where my mom said, "Eli, there's the door. Head outside, and you know, I'll shout when it's time for dinner."
Excellent.
So I always had that that experience, that immersion in the outdoors.
Yeah.
I loved interacting with animals. I would I had insect collections when I was a little kid, and I would make little habitats for them. When I got bigger and I could explore more, I loved building forts and, you know, damming streams that were in the woods out behind my house, you know, really kind of acting the explorer, the adventurer. My family has a cabin up in the Adirondacks in New York. And so I grew up just outside of Albany, New York. And so every summer we would spend almost the entire summer up there in the woods. And that probably had the biggest single impact on me in terms of really noticing the difference between even a suburb like Greenwich or even in the North Country back here where the Audubon Center is, and being truly immersed in nature, like you feel out in the Adirondacks or like you feel when you walk out onto the trails here at the center. Spending that time in wilderness, seeing the animals that emerge when you're out there camping overnight and you stay in the same spot for hours and you see the forest come back to life when they realize you're nothing to be afraid of. It's a powerful experience. I went to summer camp starting when I was 12, on Lake George up in the Adirondacks. For any of you listeners that know, I'm sure that they love Lake George. It's really, really a phenomenal place, especially the eastern side of the lake. The lake's 36 miles long, and the eastern side is very sparsely developed. So there's a lot of land there that is really wilderness. Sailing on the lake, hiking every summer, those experiences built that foundation that when I got old enough to really kind of set my own interests in school, science, physics, psychology, those were the subject areas that captured my imagination and my drive. So when I graduated from Brandeis University, I became an early childhood educator and a summer camp administrator. And, you know, that built the resume that really led me to the Audubon Center. The last thing I needed was a clear, burning beacon for why I would be, why would I feel driven to lead an organization like this, a collective of people who all are going in the same direction. And that beacon was really set by my learning about climate change. It was really when that when I really understood what kind of impact people were having and how little had been done over the decades since we found out about it. That's when I felt like it was my responsibility to devote my life to educating people about what they could do to help protect our environment.
Sure. Now, I have to ask you, the Greenwich Audubon Center is a bird sanctuary. Of course, it's much more than that. So tell us, what is the center's mission?
So our mission is to engage and educate people to conserve, restore, and enjoy nature. But, you know, when I describe what we do, it's really connecting people to the natural world and inspiring conservation actions that benefit birds, other wildlife, and the habitat they depend on. I think it's really important to focus on not just enjoying nature, but in connecting the people that enjoy and love nature to meaningful actions to protect it.
Indeed. Now, the Greenwich Audubon Center's history is a fascinating one. I'm a little biased here because it was the 18th century farm of a branch of my family, the Zebediah Mead farm. So I got to admit it. I'm a little bit biased. But the Greenwich Center has the distinction of being, I believe, the first educational nature center recognized by the National Audubon Society. I was wondering if you would talk to us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we just celebrated our 75th anniversary last year, and there's so much that this center has done. It probably makes sense to go back to the beginning. In 1942, 281 acres were donated to the National Audubon Society by Eleanor Clovis Reese and H. Hall Clovis. And that really enabled the National Audubon Society president, John Baker, to fulfill a long-time dream to create a nature education center that was Audubon's. Mm. So it's the first nature education center in the National Audubon Society. From 1944 all the way through to the year 2000, over 10,000 educators were trained in place-based nature education, and this was one of the only places in the world to learn about that. So it was really a pioneering organization and facility for teaching other people how to teach other people to connect with nature in a meaningful way.
Yeah. I got to say, last month, January, we had this one weekend, you might remember this, where it was very, very mild. People were saying that their air conditioning systems were going on automatically. It was that warm. And I went up there. This is how we got connected, not only for me to go into to see the Mead House up there, but you know, going and discovering, finding peace through nature and through the trails there. I wanted to know, talk to us in the audience about the trails and how they are maintained and so on.
Yeah. So we have just about 8 miles of trails here at the main sanctuary, 613 Riversville Road, up at the corner of Riversville and John. We have about another 7.5 at our second largest property, which is about 135 acres, just down the street, the Fairchild Wildflower Sanctuary. So we have over 15 miles of trails between our two largest properties, and they create a network connecting people to a variety of habitats, including a lake, multiple ponds, vernal pools, which are ponds that really just appear in the spring. Most of the ground is covered by deciduous forest, but we also have meadows, transitional habitat, which is critically important for particular bird species like the blue-winged warbler. That's where a meadow is transitioning into forest. We also have woody swamp and wetlands. Mm-hmm. The trails are really the primary conduit for people to lead themselves on experiences in nature. And we have enough space that even on a busy day, people feel completely immersed in you know, the beauty of the natural world. When you ask about trails, I have to mention that we have a good amount of property across town. We have about 686 acres across town. And we have one land steward, a gentleman named Andy Chapin. And he is a magician, but he can only do so much by himself. So we really do rely so much on volunteers, people even to just walk the trails and let us know, oh, there was a storm and a branch came down. But also people to help clear the trails when they get clogged, to remove invasive species as they come in and choke out our native plants that the birds and other animals need. So we really do rely on our volunteers for so much, and it's a great way for people to interact with nature and feel a part of an organization like Audubon.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on the Greenwich A Town for All Seasons show on Radio 1490 WGCH at WGCH.com, anywhere via live, streaming over the internet. We're going to take a short break. With us this morning by phone is Eli Schaefer. He is the director of the Greenwich Audubon Center. You can learn more at greenwich.audubon.org.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
I want to extend my sincerest thanks to the following for making today's Talk of the Town segment possible on today's broadcast: Catherine Lotnier and John Mickey Robinson, Kevin M. J. O'Connor of the Jeffrey Matthews Group, Sue Hill McClenachan, and listeners to the Greenwich A Town for All Seasons show here on Radio 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on the Greenwich to Town for All Seasons show on Radio 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Jeffrey Bingham-Mead, and I'm your host. With us this morning by phone is Eli Schaefer. He is the director of the Greenwich Audubon Center. My friends, you can learn about this fantastic place by going online to greenwich.audubon.org. Eli, thank you very much for staying with us through the break. We appreciate that very much.
Now, we may be in the middle of winter presently, but we all know that the seasons will change, and we have a lot of parents here in the Greenwich area looking for warmer weather programs for their children. So I wanted to know if you would just spend a couple of moments with us and talk to us a little bit about your children's and youth programs.
Yeah, well, we do a lot for everyone, which is fantastic. But young families are definitely our largest growing audience, and so we're growing the amount of programs that we offer them proportionally. So we just opened up registration at the beginning of last month for our 2020 summer camp season, and we actually reorganized our summer camp a little bit so that there are three parallel tracks based on age. We have the Explorers for ages 5 to 7, the Pioneers for ages 8 to 12, and the Adventurers for ages 12 to 16. And the Adventurers group really elevates the nature experiences with themes like climate champions, nature art, marine ecology, twilight adventures, and two sessions of wilderness survival because it's been so popular. We're always looking for more CITs to engage with camp as well. More family program we have coming back is Nature Sprouts, which is a mommy and me or a guardian and me program for children 18 to 36 months. And one of the biggest changes to our family programming is that now every single weekend from the beginning of April through October, we will have weekly weekend family programming, including Meet and Feed the Animals, family yoga. We also have adult yoga. Naturalist hikes. We have about once a season, we do big family play dates where we have over 100 people come. We sing songs and meet the animals and go outside if we can. And then we have our major events like the Fall Festival, which brings 3,000 people, Firefly Nights, where people can experience the true amazing wonder of fireflies in the backcountry, and more. I wish I could tell you all about them, but I'd be here all day.
tell us a little bit about your community science program.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Community science, which up until recently was referred to as citizen science. Community science is the bedrock of engaging with nature through Audubon, because we're happy to connect people to the outdoors. We're happy to offer them things that they can do. But when people engage in community science programs, they're really contributing real data that scientists use to understand the natural world. So increases or decreases in the number of insects or birds that come through the property. It's very, very important, and we need a lot of people to help.
Sure.
Our biggest community science program is the Quaker Ridge Hawk Watch site, which we have here. Every year we count around 20,000 birds of prey, like hawks and eagles, that fly right over our center. We do bird counts, like we have the backyard bird count in February. We have butterfly and dragonfly surveys in the summer. And very excitingly, we are actually restarting our bird banding program this fall so that members of the public will get to watch and participate in the collection of birds using nets in ways that don't hurt the birds. Yeah. And then a band is applied to the bird's leg so that they can be tracked as they migrate. And it's a really exciting way for people.
Wow, that's fantastic. Very, very, very nice. Now, news has reached me, Eli, about something very exciting at the center, and I'm referring, of course, to Audubon for All. And I want you to please tell us about that.
Sure. Being where we are, when we offer our doors open and offer our trails, the people who love nature and the people who can come here come. But, really, the threats facing birds are much greater than than those that can be faced if only the people who can come up to our site are engaged. So we are making an effort, a multi-pronged effort, to engage people with barriers to accessing nature with nature and conservation action. So that includes our Let's Go Birding Together walks in the month of June, celebrating Pride Month. It includes bilingual early childhood education program we do off-site in Port Chester. And it also includes accessibility and inclusion programs that we have happening right here at the center. And so that includes staff training so that anyone, no matter their walk of life or their ability, can be included in any program. It includes modifications to our site, like the introduction of fully accessible trails that anyone can use. And it also includes specialty programs like our Sensory Sensitive Saturdays, the second Saturday of every month, mm-hmm. where individuals with sensory sensitivity, such as individuals with autism, can enjoy accessing nature in a way that is comfortable and safe.
Excellent. Oh, this is wonderful news. I think that many people will respond very, very positively to that. That's fantastic. Now, I got to say, my head is spinning right now because the Greenwich Audubon Center is a hive of activity in more ways than one. So tell us what's in store for the future.
We are really working to fill some gaps. Like I mentioned before, that there's, there are gaps in terms of the people that we engage, and so Audubon for All is really how we're filling that gap. There's another gap in another one of our primary messages, native plants.
Oh, yeah.
Planting native plants is a really important way to provide habitat for insects and birds and other wildlife that desperately need that habitat, because habitat loss is a major, major crisis across the world and across our region. We are introducing a new program this spring called Ecological Gardening and Landscapes. And what that is teaching people hands-on through a new outdoor classroom garden that we are installing how to create thriving native habitats mm-hmm. While still supporting the vegetable garden or ornamental flower garden that they love. Mm-hmm. You can have the beauty of your garden and the yield of your vegetables without using any pesticides and by creating landscape around that space that's habitat for the animals here.
Right, right. Wow, my God. Now, how can the public learn more about Greenwich Audubon Center, including not just how to join but how to support your wonderful programs?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have our website, greenwich.audubon.org. And people can they can go there. They can see all of the events that we have going on. They can learn more information about some of the programs that I've been talking about. We also have a very active Facebook and Instagram following. We post regularly, if not daily, when the weather is nice, to our Instagram, which automatically goes up to Facebook because we capture some really amazing pictures and videos here on the property. And people can find us through their devices, but what we really want is for them to just come visit. People say when they come here, oh, my goodness, I drove past, and, it's a hidden gem. And I say, it's too hidden. We want you here. Come here. Enjoy it. Learn about us. Support us. We need your support, and so do the birds and other wildlife. Here in Greenwich.
Indeed. Now, and I will tell you, as we start to close, I am looking forward to working with you and the Audubon Society, and as well as other members of my family, about preserving and restoring that Zebediah Mead farmhouse. Mm-hmm. I'm just entranced with it, and I think that we're going to do some fabulous things together. So, there's everything is happening at the Audubon Society. I'm happier more than ever that I went up there on that wonderful mild January weekend to go up and enjoy myself. It definitely did the trick, as they say. So as we start to close, Eli Schaefer, I always give my guests the final word, and I would like to know if there's anything else that you would like to share.
I would. We educate 3,000 school students each year, and we rely on a core group of about 10 volunteers. We call them teacher naturalists. Mm. We train them. They mentor with each other so that they can help us deliver those programs in a meaningful way in small groups. And we would certainly love to see more people coming up here and helping us out with that program. And there's no threshold for experience that's required for doing that. The power of participating in a program like that, the power of coming and visiting and experiencing nature, it's really that those who experience nature firsthand will understand it better.
Indeed.
And those who understand it will care. And those who care will act to protect it. And that is what our planet needs. It's what our birds need. It's really what we need, too.
Indeed.
And so I hope more people do it.
We will. Well, I'll tell you, Eli Schaefer, you are the director of the Greenwich Audubon Society, a real gem in this town. I'm urging all of my audience, everybody, to go out and to rediscover this place if you have not done so before. And I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
The Greenwich Audubon Center at 613 Riversville Road in Greenwich in the town's backcountry has been welcoming visitors for generations. People like me, you, everyone, I'm inviting you to reconnect with nature and history like nowhere else in town by visiting the Greenwich Audubon Center. You can learn more at greenwich.audubon.org. As I start to close today's show, I wanted to call to your attention the book that I published in 1995 titled Chains Unbound, Slave Emancipations in Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, there are copies around in area libraries, but for those of you that don't have access, well, I've got some good news for you. Believe it or not, 5 years ago, I put the entire contents of Chains Unbound online. It is freely available to anyone with online access. All you have to do is learn more by going to Chains Unbound, GreenwichCT.blogspot.com. Again, that's Chains Unbound, GreenwichCT.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Greenwich, a Town for All Seasons, coming to you and the world thanks to the miracles of 21st century technology and the wonders of radio through the renowned studios of Radio 1490 WGCH, streaming online over the internet worldwide on WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host and a descendant of the 17th century founders of the town of Greenwich. I'm so glad that you could join us today. Now, you can learn more about the show by going to greenwichatownforallseasons.blogspot.com, and you can listen to archive shows through that site as well. The show is supported by those who believe our history is worth preserving and celebrating. We thank you for doing that. We don't care whether you've been in Greenwich for 380 years or 380 seconds. You're a part of our history, and we are glad to have you. Please help safeguard and cultivate an appreciation of our New England host culture. The beauty that is Greenwich, Connecticut came at a price that cannot be easily measured or recouped through material means. Tune in to the next show on Wednesday, the 26th of February. Bye-bye now.